Sterling, unaccountably, hadn't been in his chamber waiting for a marriage proposal. He was standing in the open doorway, staring at her, there in the dark corridor. Lavinia? She managed a wavering smile.
Hello.
Jesus, he barked, and then looked both ways. What in the hell are you doing out here? Before she could answer, he grabbed her by the elbow, pulled her inside, and slammed the door.
Earlier, talking to Diana, it had all made sense, in a cracked sort of way. Parth was rich, Parth was unmarried, and Parth was a problem solver. But faced with Parth, who was taller than most men, broader in his chest, with thick hair, skin like warm bronze, dark eyes, and that beard. Unlike the other gentlemen of her acquaintance, he wore a close-trimmed beard that made him look as if he belonged in a Shakespeare play or the court of Henry VIII. He looked like a king.
I find myself in a predicament, Lavinia said, the words tripping over each other. Well, more than a predicament, a problem. Yes, problem is the right word for it.
Usually, she had no trouble speaking, but now it felt as if sentences were knocking about in her head. It must be an appalling sort of problem to bring you to my door. His voice wasn't chilly, precisely, but she caught a distinct ironic edge. Oh, God, her sins were coming home to roost.
I used to call you appalling, Parth, she said, clearing her throat. It was merely in jest, and I apologise.
To be sure a jest, he agreed, his voice indifferent. Whatever the case, why are you here, Miss Grey?
You used to call me Lavinia. In fact, you did seconds ago.
Seconds ago, I was shocked to find a lady standing at my bedchamber door. It seems we were both guilty of a lapse in decorum. Well, that was blunt. Lavinia twisted her fingers together, trying to work out how to broach the subject of marriage. This was a disaster. She ought to leave. She told herself to leave, quite firmly. Her feet remained rooted to the carpet. Parth raised a brow. Well, he said, when she had apparently stood in silence too long. What can I do for you, Miss Grey? Before she thought twice, her eyes flew to his. Yes, she had teased him, but she didn't believe he hated her. Lavinia, he corrected, his eyes softening. That was graceless of me, because you are clearly in extremis. What can I do to help? The humiliating thing was that the mere sight of him made her heart pound. Never mind that he was monstrously arrogant and would make a terrible husband. From the moment she'd first seen him, 2 summers before, he'd done something to her. He aggravated her. He infuriated her. He intrigued her. She hated that the most, because he had made it clear from the first time he saw her that he considered her trivial, silly, and intellectually inferior. Why in God's name had she allowed Diana to talk her into this? She cleared her throat.
I was wondering if you had made any plans for marriage.
He froze.
Because,
Lavinia said, propelled forward by the terrible narrative that she and Diana had devised.
I am.
She couldn't do it. She tried again.
It's just that I thought.
Are you offering to marry me? His voice rasped. Bloody hell, Lavinia. Are you proposing marriage?
Something like that, she admitted. She had imagined surprise or blunt rejection. She had not imagined pity.
But she saw pity in his dark eyes, and a wave of humiliation made her stomach cramp. Instinctively, she swung her gaze away and caught sight of the two of them in a looking glass hanging on the wall. Lavinia looked the same as she had 2 hours ago, before her mother revealed the truth about their finances. Her thick hair was the colour of new guineas. Her blue eyes were framed by lavish eyelashes that she darkened religiously. A buxom figure, and lips that she didn't bother to colour, because her looks already skirted the edge of respectability. That just showed how...